I'd like to welcome everyone to another episode of Behind the Badge Illinois. I am David Hochberg, your host. The show is sponsored by Team Hochberg. If you're looking to purchase a new home, refinance your existing home, give us a call, 855-563-2843, or visit our website, 56david.com. We're recording this the day after the Fed dropped the rates a half a point, so everybody's credit cards, home equity line of credits, and car loans, if you're buying a newer used car, will be less expensive than they were the day before. Give us a call. We love working with first responders and all of their family members. Okay, now that the business side of it's out of the way, we're going to get right into it. We've got a couple of great guests with us today. We've got the, make sure I don't mess this up, the Otis Pace, who is the president of the Illinois State Conference of the NAACP. And we have Bob Moore, who chairs the NAACP Criminal Justice Committee for Illinois. Lou, you owe me a dollar because I didn't mess that up. So we want to bring these gentlemen on today because we want to discuss the 10 shared principles of public safety, which I know we've talked about on past shows. I know this is a big, big, big important concept for the ILACP. I know Lou harps on it all the time. He drills it home every single chance he gets on these podcasts, how it's important to him, how it's important to the community up in Highland Park that he services. So let's dive right into it. I'll throw it out. Let's go president first. Mr. Pace, you want to introduce yourself quickly and talk about what you do and who you are?
Hey, good morning, and thanks for having me. This is something that I think would really generate interest, and it's an informational piece for those individuals that really want to know about what the NAACP do across the state of Illinois. My name is Theodis Pace. I'm the president of the Illinois Conference of Branches of the NAACP for the state of Illinois. And also, I reside in Kankakee, Illinois, where I'm also the president of the Kankakee County branch of the NAACP. Again, thanks for having me.
You got it. Mr. Moore, you want to briefly introduce yourself, my friend?
Yes, it's a good word for me. You know, I am the chair of the Criminal Justice Committee for the state of Illinois. I'm a retired United States Marshal. I'm a former chief of police of Jackson, Mississippi. I'm a former chief of detectives of Savannah, Georgia. And I've been at the forefront of the 10 shared principles since its beginning. I live in Springfield, Illinois. I travel the state and travel the nation in promoting these 10 shared principles. And we are so excited that we're getting an opportunity to get a outing here to the communities and throughout the state of Illinois through this podcast so that we can fully get them to fully embrace these 10 shared principles as we move forward.
Well, thank you for that. I for one, have been to Jackson, Mississippi, to the IPSCO steel plant when they opened it up. And it was so hot down there that my sweat was sweating. I just wanted to throw that out there, that the winters are a lot more comfortable down there, but the summer's up here. So thank you for introducing yourself. President Pace, thank you for introducing yourself. Hey, Lou, why don't you go over what the 10 shared principles are, bud?
I'm going to run through the 10 shared principles so that as we're talking about them, the background that I know that you're going to hear about, how much they mean to us at the local level. The NAACP is going to talk about their perspective. Why don't I just run through them for our listeners so they have a concept of what it is we're talking about? What are these 10 shared principles of public safety? And I'll paraphrase them because I won't read them, you know, verbatim, but these really are the blueprint of what we're talking about today. And I know for many, many departments throughout the state, this is how they work from. And again, it is a shared concept, and they're, you know, there's some onus on the community too, which is the lovely part of this whole program, that it is a shared principle. So number one, of course, we value the life of every person and consider it to be of the highest value. Number two is all persons should be treated with dignity and respect. This is another foundational value. Number three, we reject discrimination towards any person based on race, ethnicity, religion, color, nationality, immigrant status, sexual orientation, gender, disability, or familial status. Number four is we endorse the six pillars of the report of the President's Task Force on 21st century policing. You might remember that President Obama did some work on this and did some remarkable work, and we kind of incorporated that into our overall shared principles. Number five, we endorse the four pillars of procedural justice, which are fairness, voice, transparency, and impartiality. Number six is we endorse the values inherent in community policing. It's important to us to have that in from my perspective. Number seven, we believe developing strong ongoing relationships between law enforcement and communities of color at the leadership level and street level will be the keys to diminishing and eliminating racial tension. Number eight, here's kind of where the public comes in play. We believe that law enforcement and community leaders have a mutual responsibility to encourage all citizens to gain a better understanding and a knowledge of the law, to assist them in their interactions with law enforcement officers. Number nine, we support diversity in police departments and law enforcement profession. So we certainly want to hire and recruit diverse police departments. And number 10, really important, we believe in de-escalation. Training should be required and ensure the safety of community members and officers. And we strongly endorse de-escalation tactics to reduce the potential confrontations that endanger law enforcement officers and community members. And so those are kind of the things, just to give an overview of the conversations that were had between the NAACP and Illinois chiefs. And again, and I'll let the gentlemen who really were part of that more than me talk about later how those conversations went. But those are the kind of guiding principles that we're all trying to work from. And I thought it'd be important to share that as we're starting this conversation.
So I'll throw it out to you two gentlemen. What do the 10 principles of shared principles of public safety mean to you, President Pace?
Well, I'd like to just state that those principles regarding the importance of the relationship between law enforcement and our respective communities and the people they serve, it's also, I would state that it builds mutual trust between law enforcement and our communities.
And Kenny, what about how does it work with your organization and putting this together with President Pace and Mr. Moore?
Thank you, Dave. The Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police and NLSP developed these principles together. You know, this conversation started a long time ago. And what we do now is, like Bob stated, myself and Bob and others travel the state teaching the 10 shared principles. We talk about the benefits of it. Like we tell everybody, it's not a panacea for all police community relations, but it's a good tool to start right. The dialogue, to build mutual trust, to help build better community relations. And, you know, again, it's got to be more than just adopting them. You have to implement the shared principles. Yep. But it's a way that we have started down this path with the NAACP. We're several years in now with this. And, you know, we're seeing great success with it in some communities.
Hey, Mr. Moore, I'll throw it over to you. With your law enforcement background, I wasn't aware that of all of your extensive background in law enforcement. How did that come into play when you were working on these principles and putting this program together with the ILACP?
Well, I've been involved with NAACP all my law enforcement career, and it was no stranger to me to be working on both sides of the civil rights side as well as on the law enforcement side. So that began with me in Savannah, Georgia, on a wholesale basis. We first started to attack black-on-black crime there together in Savannah, Georgia, back in the 80s there. But over the years, as I moved around the country and in other areas, I would automatically find myself in terms of dealing with the NAACP. When I came out of Jackson, NAACP from Jackson, they paid for my lifetime membership. And that's the type of relationship that we were developing and that we had in Jackson. So I now am a lifetime member because of the relationship that we began to deal. So when the past president became the first female president of the NAACP, she asked me to come and chair the Criminal Justice Committee, and she wanted my expertise because we had the ability to bring people together. That's one of my strong suits. We know how to bring people together from diverse groups. And so we've been very successful in doing that. And so it all began with a phone call to me saying, I want you to become the chair of the Criminal Justice Committee. And I readily accepted that. And we have seen phenomenal success over the years with the 10 shared principles. As I say, I guess I'm the only one at the table that's been probably at every meeting that the occurred between the Illinois Chiefs and the NAACP. And I'm very proud of that because I have the entire history of that, of how it all came about. And I'm in the process of trying to figure out how to get more accountability. And we have some great partners that we have with our partners with the Illinois Chiefs.
Daniel, I want to throw it over.
Daniel, real quick, permission.
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to throw it to you anyway, Lou. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say permission to violate your two-minute rule, potentially.
Yeah, well, goes without saying.
Yeah, no, but not for me. But honestly, for Kenny specifically and for Bob, I mean, they have to tell – I think the audience needs to hear the genesis of how these 10 shared principles really came about, the event specifically that led the Chiefs to kind of talk with the NAACP. I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, this is something that's not being done, although not we're trying to get other states to really get on board. But this is such an innovative and such an impressive, incredible program, initiative, partnership that I'm surprised that other states haven't just jumped on it immediately. It is just really an incredible opportunity to make these relationships stronger and to make public safety stronger and to bring the community together. Specifically communities of color, but really the story is fascinating. And I know those two gentlemen can tell it. They might be able to tag team, but it might go over your 2 to 3 minute rule. But I do think it's worthy of our listeners hearing, you know, the background. There's some really interesting pieces of information and nuggets that every time I hear it, I'm just so impressed at how these two groups came together. Two groups that maybe haven't always worked together, right, throughout the history, you know, the NAACP and law enforcement. And so to have these two groups come together and successfully put a program like this together collaboratively, listening, I mean, it is just incredible. So if you'll indulge me, I think it would be really nice if Kenny and Bob could give, you know, Cliff Notes version, but tag team on a little bit of the history of how this came to be.
Well, I'd like to interject real quick here. And that is because of the myth, as Bob stated. I'm from Columbus, Georgia, and I've been a member as long as of the NAACP, as long as I can remember. And even going back, and I would say the Jim Crow South, to now elevating to be the president of the NAACP of the state of Illinois, it's always been that myth where the NAACP and law enforcement, I mean, it's like a dividing line. And with the 10 shared principles, it just brought everybody together about the value of life and also the dignity and respect. And when two entities sit down, you'll be surprised that we actually have some related common goals and objectives.
Can I just throw one thing out there to build upon what Lou just mentioned, Chief Jogman just mentioned, and President Pace just mentioned to both Kenny and to Mr. Moore? You know, not only how did it come about, but how does it work, right, every day? How do these 10 shared principles, then I'll throw it back to Chief Brogelman, Chief Jogman, how does it work within your community? I'll throw it out to Kenny and Mr. Moore. How did this come about, and how does it work every single day within your organizations?
It actually started in Evanston. Actually, the chief of police of Evanston and the NAACP state conference chair at that time was also in the Evanston area. So they came together to begin some conversation about what it would take to get us on the same board. In the same lane, I would say. But then in 2014, when the Michael Brown incident occurred down in Missouri, there, the leadership came to NAACP and asked a very simple question. they asked the question of what can we do in order to make sure that the Michael Browns in Ferguson, Missouri don't come to Illinois. And that was a very profound question to be asked. And I don't think none of us had the answer at that time, but we began the process of attending each other's conferences to try to answer that question. And so I attended my first conference in Schaumburg in 2015, where I made a presentation on how to deal with police. And I must admit that there was some heartburns about the presentation that I made at the at that conference, but it opened up what we call one of the best things that ever happened. It opened up communication. And that's the key to any organization working with one another, is to have profound and good, honest communication. And so those exchanges at each other's conferences began that communication. And as we are constant to have moved forward, our last conference at the Illinois Chiefs Conference in Tinley Park back in August, I think, was a resounding success in terms of where we had a roundtable with Illinois Chiefs leadership and NAACP leadership. And so we have moved that conversation not only from an individual standpoint of view, but to a organizational standpoint of view. And we're and I'll talk a little bit more about how we have identified the NAACP presidents around the state. And we're hoping that our one of our other goals is to have those NAACP presidents across the state reach out to Illinois Chiefs in those areas, in the areas of geographical areas of where they are. And so from a standpoint of view, it started all after the Ferguson deal, and we came together. And once I came aboard, we started to have some real conversations with Ed Wyszynski, who was the executive director at the time of the Illinois Chiefs. And we worked together for about 4 months on after we proposed that we needed some principles that we could work by. We needed to not just have some conversation, but we needed to have something in writing that we could share with other people. And so the 10 shared principles were born, and in terms that was a draft was put out, and we all took about 4 months to back and forth. We met in person. We met by Zoom. We met with the Illinois Chiefs, executive staff. We met with the NAACP's executive group to run it all by them. So it took a process. It really took a process that we had not been utilizing before, but we were committed to making sure that nothing came to Illinois that resembled the Ferguson deal. And so we've since 2015, we have been very successful until we got hit with the situation here in Springfield. And so we're still wedded to the fact that we made so much progress. And now is the time for us to really talk about moving the process even farther.
So I'm going to throw it over to Kenny. Based upon what Chairman Moore covered, how does, you know, you got involved 5 months in or 6 months in when this ship already left the port here. Can you pick it up from, we heard from the NAACP side. Can you give us the side of the ILACP and the organization side?
Yeah, so I think what happened, obviously, is that when it came to us as chiefs, I remember when Bob walked into my office along with Teresa Haley, who was the president at the time, to talk about the shared principles. We'd already had a relationship here in Springfield, had already been working on a lot of stuff individually, and they were talking about how can we make this statewide, how can we get chiefs to buy into this, you know, and that kind of spurned, and I should say born the World Cafes, where we took it around the state to get input from chiefs as well as citizens from around the state to talk about these things. And then, you know, they just continued to refine it until the principles were something that we could all agree on, because we wanted these to be mutually acceptable principles that everybody could adopt, everybody could agree on. And as Bob said, there was a lot of back and forth, but they had our input, you know, and they took our input, you know, and when it was all said and done, we came out with a product that I think everybody realized, you know what, this is good practice, this is best practice, it's common sense, it's not a heavy lift, but it's something that it takes some effort. It takes some effort to get it done. And then how do you take this and then push it forward? How do you get these departments to adopt it, you know, and I'll be very blunt about things, you know. There was some pushback from certain departments and some chiefs, and there still is today, you know, because there's concerns about, you know, well, is this all one-sided? You know, we're like, no, that's why, you know, if you look at Principle 2 and Principle 8, we talk about this being mutual, and we talk about everybody plays a role in this and how do we play a role in it. But, you know, there's also the fact that, you know, it's a historic effort because it's the first agreement between a civil rights organization and a statewide law enforcement organization to put in writing, to hold each other accountable to these and try to move forward as we implement these nation or hopefully nationwide someday, but at least statewide. And so on a daily basis, you know, I get questions about the 10 shared principles from the media, from the public, from other chiefs that are coming into the state that aren't familiar with them, or people who came up through the ranks because there's been some turnover the last few years and maybe they're not real familiar. And so, you know, I think when we talk about these next steps, like Bob said, and I'm sure some that Kurt and Lou can talk about this, it's about how do you implement these principles? How do you ingrain them into your culture so that when the chief leaves, they remain? And I think that's the important thing right now. And so Bob and I, we travel the state and we put on different types of trainings. You know, one is just an awareness of the 10 shared principles and what they are and how you can go about adopting them. But then we try to talk about what we call implementation of the 10 shared principles. How do you take that next step? What are some of the best practices you can do as a chief, as an administrator, to really wove these principles into your culture? So that's what we've been trying to do. We probably do 6 to 8 of these a year. I know that we'll be over at the NAACP's conference next weekend in Bloomington talking about part of the principles, not all the principles, but part of the principles and how they relate to law enforcement. But again, these are things that we try to do on a regular basis.
I got a question for President Pace. Since this is the first of its kind in the nation, from as a citizen, right? I'm learning as we go here. Every one of these podcasts we do, you, Chairman Moore, and President Pace, I learned something new, and I'm just, you know, amazed. And as a citizen, I'm kind of amazed that something like this hasn't been put into place earlier than what I'm hearing. So as the president, I want to get your title right, president of the Illinois State Conference of the NAACP, how does it make you feel as your organization being a leader in this? And when you, and then the second part of that question, as you speak with other presidents of other states in our fine nation, are you having conversations like, hey, this is what we're doing in Illinois. Are you guys or gals doing something like that in your state, and what are you doing to help push these principles, these 10 principles, or maybe other states want to have 8 or 15, whatever, with other presidents, chapter presidents throughout the United States?
Well, hey, Bob and Kenny makes it quite easy for me since I became a president. But I'm going to answer. I can say this in one sentence. I'm putting the pressure on Bob and Kenny next week because we would have the chairman of the board of the National Association of Advancement of Colored People will be attending our 87th annual state convention. So we would have, I'm going to make sure we have some time that I think it starts at the top. And so we would have in our midst the chairman of the board, and we can convey to him a very one-on-one type of opportunity where we can actually take this to our national board members, and then we can disseminate this from across the various branches throughout the United States, which we have approximately about 3,000 branches or so. But here again, Kenny mentioned the drawback with people, I would call it skepticism, where, again, people can't see a civil rights organization and law enforcement coming together. And here in Kankakee, even next Wednesday at 12 noon on the, the 25th, we meet every other month. All law enforcement, our sheriff department, and the NAACP every other month. We've been meeting since Ferguson to ensure that a Ferguson, a Philadelphia, Baltimore, and things, and even the recent incident in Springfield does not happen here in our jurisdiction. So next week, we can start to really move forward where we can push the 10 shared principle to across the nation with our respective NAACP branches and respective states.
I want to turn the tables a little bit because Kirk's been sitting there and he hasn't been this quiet on a podcast ever. So Chief Brugman, in O'Fallon, how do you as a police chief incorporate these 10 principles into your everyday operation in your organization? Is so it's instilled so when you do retire or take another position and the next chief comes in that it continues on instead of just your time as chief?
Well, so we got in on this pretty early. We saw a presentation at an ILECB conference in Peoria. I can't remember if it was 2018 or 2019. 2019. We were pretty much sold on it, and we had a great relationship with our local NAACP, who happens to be the president of our local NAACP, happens to be the first vice president for the state, Francine Nicholson. And we sat down, we had those conversations, we talked about it, and immediately upon putting that, adopting those 10 shared principles, is you have those conversations with your officers, we put it into policy. And it's not very hard because when you start to look at these things, they're pretty common sense stuff. And there are a lot of the things that we've already been doing. When I look at these 10 shared principles and we put them into policy, but we start looking at them, they're kind of like Kenny said, it's a blueprint for how we're supposed to act. We have a mission statement and then we have a policy, but realistically, when you're looking at your mission statement and your policy in the absence of policy, you look at these 10 shared principles. And if you're going to abide by these 10 shared principles, you're going to do a good job as a police officer. And, and so what we do is we've taken those 10 shared principles and we've broken them down for our officers and we've shown them, hey, look, this is what we're doing. Yeah, community policing has been something that we've been doing in our organization since the 80s. Treating people with dignity and respect. So you break that down and you say, look, this is how we're talking to people. This is how we're doing things. This is we're doing things professionally. We have a culture within our organization of professionalism. We might not always agree with someone and we may... but it should never get in the way of treating people professionally and treating people with dignity and respect. I think the president had a great statement earlier where he said that the history between policing and the NAACP has not always been the best. And I think when we endorse the six pillars of the president's task force, the first one is rebuilding trust through procedural justice, transparency, accountability, and then honest recognition of past and present obstacles. So when we come and we can take a look at that and say, yes, we understand we have not always had a great reputation. The policing has not had a great reputation in the minority community. Right. And it's not you. It's not you as an officer today, but you have to recognize that that's the past and that still exists. So when you break these things down and we talk about them individually, we talk about them with our officers. And we break them down and we make them understand them. And then that kind of ingrains that into the culture of our organization. And that's the goal for me as a police leader here, is to make this part of their culture, to make it second nature. It's right there. That blueprint's there. Just take a look at it. And we're acting that way every day.
I got a question for you. So when you first started implementing this 18, 19, 20, whatever year. You had some existing officers on the force, indoctrinating it into the new officers is just, hey, you want a job here in O'Fallon, this is the way we roll. But how was it getting the existing police, the veterans, to buy into the 10 principles?
I don't think it was that hard because, like I said, we were already doing a lot of these things. So a lot of these things are just being, you know, it's about being good people. It's about being a good human, about being a good person. And I'd like to think that we have a lot of good citizens and good people on our organization. And when you have people that are not good and that are not supposed to be police officers, you find ways to remove them from the profession. And I think we've been very successful with that in our organization and within our city and our community. So it was not as difficult with our department.
Lou, I'll throw it up to you in Highland Park. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Mr. Moore.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we have to point out is the fact that what we Illinois Chiefs and NAACP made a commitment to travel the state together, to be seen together, and making joint presentations around the state. And we did that. We've made over 40 presentations throughout the state of Illinois. And the process that the chief is talking about in Peoria, we brought together the Illinois Chiefs and the NAACP president, and we had about almost 200 people at that particular meeting in Peoria, and where we had the lieutenant governor came in to promote the 10 shared principles with us. Because she was actually the moderator for the first four meetings that we had before she became the candidate for the lieutenant governor. She had to drop out after she became the candidate, but we had a wonderful relationship with her and moving us forward with the 10 shared principles. And so she is totally familiar with the principles because she was on the ground floor when we started with them.
Well, thank you for that clarification. That's great. Lou, I'm going to throw it over to you.
All
So
right.
we just heard, you know, you, Chairman Moore, talk about the statewide caravan and getting everybody involved in their different communities. And you're up there in Highland Park. Chief Brugman's down there in O'Fallon, right? So we got a huge separation, same state. How did you incorporate it within your force? And more importantly, you had stressed that the community has to buy in as well. What did you have to do to get the local community, the leaders of Highland Park and the citizens of Highland Park, to sign on and participate in the 10 principles?
Yeah, so first I just want to thank Kirk. He made up for lost time on that last answer. You definitely caught back up, so you're all right. So again, for me in Highland Park, I was a new chief in 2018, and the ink was still pretty wet on the actual signing between the NAACP and the Illinois Chiefs. And a very interesting point of fact that I think is important, and I love the story. Where this document was finally signed off on between both presidents, I think is just incredible piece of history. So when everybody kind of we the 10 shared principles were finally kind of identified and everybody was signed off and happy with them, they held a ceremony, and they held that ceremony in the old state capitol in Springfield. And that's the very same place that Abraham Lincoln did his famous House Divided speech. And I just think that that cannot be lost on all of us that, you know, that's kind of where this road kind of took everybody, all those conversations. Really, what other state has that to be able to lean on? And just I think just very poetic to have had that happen there. And so it happened. And then shortly thereafter, I took the job here in Highland Park. And I, you know, immediately and hearing how it all came about, I was a believer. I thought, what a great opportunity for all of us to really move this relationship forward in our community. And so I went to my new staff individually and asked them what they thought. And of course, not surprised, each and every one of them looked them over. And I think to the point that the Mr. President said, and I think Kirk, you know, any reticence, I think for law enforcement, I think those officers are missing the big point. My officers quickly recognized and felt very valued that this was a shared principle. You know, it wasn't 10 more things law enforcement officers just have to do. They saw the work that went in. They understood that that is a shared principle concept between our public, that there's some onus on the public to try to understand some of the work we do to the extent they can. And I think for me, that is what made them certainly, it was a non-issue for them. So what we did to really signify our commitment to these is we were the first in the state to have every officer literally sign off on a large document we generated, like kind of a la the Magna Carta or Declaration of Independence. Every officer put their name on the document with the 10 shared, which forms a contract, really. You know, they're saying, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to live by. You have my word, and here is my signature to tell you that. And we went to city council and then presented that. We had the past president, Teresa Haley. She joined us via Zoom to be part of that conversation. We introduced it to our community, said, this is who we are. You can hold us accountable to these. We're going to hopefully have the same conversation with you. And then ever since then, any officer that's hired, we certainly have the conversation. When I meet with that officer, we talk about the 10 shared, they sign off. When we have to operationalize it, to your point, Dave, our department's all about the 10 shared principles. Before you're hired, in our interview process, we talk about the 10 shared principles. And we ask you, is this who you are? Well, you have a problem, because this is who we are. And if you're not about this, then this might not be the organization for you. So we introduce our candidates. We introduce our recruits. It's in our training. It's in our policy. It's whenever we redesigned our shift level commendation form to have – it had check boxes for punctuality and just the normal things. We actually have the 10 shared principles on there now. And each activity that we're recognizing somebody for has to be born out of one of those. Did you value someone's life? Did you de-escalate? Any of those things are all tied into our 10 shared principles. And conversely, even when we discipline, it was not your best day today. Which one of these did you not live up to? So it is everywhere. When we do positions and we're hiring new detectives or defensive tactics coordinators, we ask them, how do the 10 shared principles are going to apply to your new position? How have you employed those 10 shared principles in your work? It is pervasive. It is our culture. Everybody in our department knows them. They're on the back of our business cards. We have them on our website. I mean, you can't get away from them. And for good reason. It is our culture in Highland Park. We have operationalized it. And I know it's our culture because I can tell you a couple things. When I have interviews with people, they're bringing them up immediately. These officers, they know them. They're bringing them up, which means they're remembering them, hopefully living by them. When we have candidates come for jobs now, we ask them a traditional question. Why did you choose Highland Park? I can't tell you how many of them have said, because I saw your 10 shared principles on your website and I want to work in a place like that. And so we're definitely seeing more diversity in our applications, which we wanted, and we always struggled with trying to make that happen. I give the 10 shared principles full credit for that, because I can tell you in the interviews, again, people are bringing that up. So, yeah, it was a very easy sell to my officers, to our community, and I find it to be an incredible, incredible initiative and just so proud to be part of it.
Did you want to add something, Mr. President?
The sheriff... association that we're going next week, but the chief just made that presentation, and I think that's the next step of really solidifying the 10 shared principles with the chief there being our main person of contact, because we need to form a overall state orientation for new officers. So we can use his presentation there and what they do in Highland Park as a premise for across the state here.
Yeah. So, Mr. All President, right. I can absolutely tell you, Kenny and I have worked. We've worked with Bob. We've done some. We're calling it operationalizing the 10 shared. Yeah. So it's great that you've signed up to do, you know, and I think Kenny was going to mention that we've got roughly 400 police departments in the state of Illinois who signed up and adopted them. That's step one. And that's wonderful. Right. But it's more than that. It has to be your culture. You have to keep that on the forefront. So Kenny and I have worked with Bob. We have a presentation about operationalizing. There are other departments that have done interesting things to add on to what we're doing. But I agree with you wholeheartedly. That is absolutely the next evolution of this, so that it stays on the forefront. They did add it to the it is in the curriculum for Suburban Law Enforcement Academy. They get exposed to it. There are a couple other police academies. Let's Be, the Law Enforcement Training Standards Board, has adopted them. And so we are making a lot of progress, but there's always work to be done.
Chairman Moore.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the one that the chief hosted there in Highland Park. He hosted one of our meetings. and he had our high school students there. And I think that's so important that he's even making it us reach out to the high school student. And I was I made that presentation in Highland Park. I didn't know him that well at that point in time, but we were so impressed about what he was doing. And as a writer, I'm an author, and all the stuff that he's done, I have written about it in some of my articles that I have written, and I know that I won that he made the thing that he hate he missed the signing at the Abraham Lincoln at the museum down there, not museum but the old state capitol. He missed that signing, and I quoted him in that also in that piece. So, but one of the other things that I want to make sure that I get to point out is one of the most important aspects of this whole process is to have that the NAACP presidents at the table with the police chief where decisions are being made. We have talked about community policing so much, but we've also found out that we have not been really asking input from organization into policies, et cetera. And as you can see now, policies are being affected simply because we are being at the table, simply because of the 10 shared principles. It opened up a new way of thinking and a new way of talking and a new way of communicating. And so when we now go and call, I tell the NAACP president, when you go to call a police chief and you say, I want a meeting, and the police chief say, well, what do you want to talk about? Well, I want to talk about police brutality. That's about all we get to talk about. But we now have a blueprint, that 10 shared principles that you can have a wonderful conversation about. And that will lead into all kind of other things that you can talk to your police chiefs about. And the police chiefs can talk to the presidents about. Because like I say, we just didn't have the mechanism for communicating. And now we have that. We have a wonderful way of doing that.
Well, thank you.
Hey, Dave.
I'm sorry, Kirk. Yeah, go, Chief Bugman.
Yeah, you know how I like to talk. But yeah, that's principle number 7, developing those strong ongoing relationships between communities of color and leadership level and street level. And it's street one level. Thing that is so important that you have to be intentional on creating those relationships, because if you're not intentional about it, then it's just not going to happen. And we always say, if you wait for something bad to happen in your community before you have those conversations and build those relationships, it's way too late. You know, you have to have those conversations and build those relationships right now. So that way, if and when something bad happens in your community, if you have something where one of your officers makes a mistake or does something bad, or even something bad happens, not even involving the police department, you've already built those relationships with that community and you're able to work through that together. And that's where the strength comes in there. And that's where these 10 shared principles and what he said is this gives you an opportunity to start having those conversations. So, well said.
Yeah. So I know we lost Kenny, and I know we're running up against the clock. So I just wanted to make sure, David, if it's okay with you, permission to allow Kenny really quickly to talk about how many departments have signed on. And I know we've got some public officials and we've got some corporations. I mean, just interesting to see after, you know, the initial sign-ons for departments, how we have moved the needle. But Kenny, can you just address that real quick?
Yeah. Right now we have 326 law enforcement agencies in the state of Illinois that have signed on. We have 13 other organizations and corporations, businesses particularly, and as well as some different type of organizations, 10 individuals and 18 public officials so far that have signed on over the last few years to the 10 shared principles.
Yeah, so I'd love to see, and we started making some work, and 2020 hit us with COVID, but you know, I'd love to see the public officials sign off on this. They're making the laws, right? Shouldn't they subscribe to these same concepts and their work, you know, as far as making these laws we're all working under? But interestingly, it was to see that some private corporate, large corporations too, I mean, it's on our website. So AT&T, you know, signed up to support these with their employees. I mean, so this initiative has it's much more growth to do. It doesn't have to just be law enforcement, NAACP. You know, it's got a lot of potential because those concepts, as we talk about, they're human concepts. Treat people with respect can be anybody and anywhere, right? So I do just see so much value and worth in the work that you all did to get this going. But I also see that we've got a lot of room to go across the country as humans, as people in the community. And it doesn't have to just be law enforcement and the NAACP. It's got potential to really impact the daily lives of people in corporations, our elected officials. And so we've got to continue to work on that. And I think I know from the Illinois Chiefs side, NAACP said we're all game for it.
All right, President Pace and Chairman. Oh, I'm sorry, Chairman Moore. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I'd like to point out a couple of the people that signed that agreement. The Illinois State Police, the director called me personally. He says to me, I want to have a relationship with the NAACP. And he said, I want to adopt the 10 shared principle. And they later on, they were the first to adopt them in the State Police Academy. So we made the President Kennedy and I made the presentation at the Illinois State Police Academy. I did that was because I graduated out of that same academy many, many years ago. But the Cook County, Mrs. Perwinkle, she signed off. And I was fortunate enough to be honored at the Black History presentation at the county board there for bringing the 10 shared principles to Cook. And so that was a personal thing that for me to get honored from the Cook County Board for bringing the 10 shared principles to them. So we've got a litany of people that has signed on and they will be a advocate for these principles at the highest level of government in Illinois.
Mr. Chair, I'm gonna have President Pace wrap it up, but Chairman Moore, watch Lou's blood rush out of his face right now. Lou, do you want to call out all of the elected officials who have not yet signed on to this?
It would be a long episode. So we'll get them there. I'm optimistic. When we've talked with them, they see the value. It's just we've got to have the opportunity to get to them. But we'll get there. We'll get there. I promise you.
All right. Well, so I can
actually say this because Lou have my mind really working here, and you know what time of the season this is. This is September, and we know what's going on in November, so it might be a good time that we can approach some of these individuals that Lou that's on the ballot, you know, and let's see, can we get them in, you know?
So I'll tell you, Mr. President, just so you know, I did about 2 years ago around, it was the midterms, same concept. Yeah. So you and I are right on the same page.
We are. Hey, so we're going to have to meet halfway and get our heads together.
100%.
We're going to have to zoom up because we are on the same path here.
Happy to do it. And I'll just let you know, I sent out probably about 100 emails. I just went online, got the emails of all our state reps and just sent them. We sent letters and we picked up about 11 or 12. So, you know, it wasn't what I would hope, but I agree with you. It's definitely aspirational to get there.
So I get the so Lou, if you, I don't like to reinvent the wheel, but if you send me that,
I will.
You know, and I put it on our letterhead, we can send it out. But then I'm sitting here. I just got off the phone earlier with at least two of our corporate sponsors. And I mean, you know, just recently being president, but I had not thought about reaching out to them to adopt with their employees.
Yep.
With the 10 share principle. So between now and next week, I will be doing that.
Well, I will get it to everything I've got. So as soon as I get off.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, I'm gonna give you the microphone, President Pates. We'd like to keep these podcasts about an hour, and we're banging up right up against the hour. And again, these podcasts, which are sponsored by Team Hochberg, looking to purchase a new home or refinance your existing home, give me a call. Take us out on the importance of these 10 principles in your own words, right? I mean, we sat here for an hour, talked about them, dove into them, which opened my eyes to a lot of different things I had no idea about. Just the importance again, I want to get your title right, the president of the Illinois State Conference of the NAACP. How important is it from where you sit that these lines of communication stay open and get expanded and get incorporated within all of the law enforcement agencies within Illinois, corporations, state elected officials. Your dime, your dance floor. Take us out.
Okay. I just like this 1 through 10. And I can say dignity, respect. Number 10 being de-escalation. And the other one is dealing with those various principles, pillars that really make what we do exceptional than the other 49 states. And again, I think there's the Illinois State Conference, the Illinois Sheriff Association, the Illinois Chief Police Association. Again, I think we can all sit down together and formulate, and we can move on to the next path to make the 10 shared principles something that most of everyone, all law enforcement across this nation, would want to participate in.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for your time, President Pace.
Thank you.
Chairman Moore and Chairman Kenny, Chief Brugman and Jogman, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This has probably been one of the most informative. They're all informative, but eye-opening to me podcast we've done all year. We will come back with more. We will also list a link, I'm sure, to the 10 principles somewhere when we post this podcast. We'll also get it down to you guys so you can share it with your organization and your members. And thanks, guys. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thanks again for having me.
Thank you. And we'll, you've been listening to another great episode of Behind the Badge, Illinois. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Have a great day.
All right.
Thank you.